All right, well, welcome back. This is our Pro Athlete interview series, and it's brought to you by the Family Office Club. And today what we're going to do is a few different interviews. And so in case you haven't met the Family Office Club before, we have about 7,500 registered investors. We've hosted events all over the world, about 275 to date over the last 17 years. And after having pro athletes, doctors, private investors, and billionaires on stage at those different events, we decided to go deep with this different series and sort of find out what it takes to become a 0.1 percenter and sort of what it takes to be a top performer. And we thought, how better than to actually interview someone that has done that. And that's why we're here with Lyle. We're going to interview him for a series of pro athletes on his mindset, investments, visualization practices, affirmations, discipline. And really, we're just thankful to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much for the warm introduction, Charles. Do you prefer Charles or Charlie?
Either one or Chuck. So either of those three will be perfect.
I'll go with Charlie if you don't mind. But thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited to, you know, connect with you today and share a little bit about myself and, you know, my experiences transitioning from the field to the, I would say, the office.
Yeah. And I guess before we get into some of the questions that we had prepared, why don't we find out a little bit more about like what the field was for you? Like, what did you do in the professional sports space? And we can hear a little bit about your journey there.
Lyle Adams, former professional soccer player. So I graduated from college in 2009, where I attended Wake Forest University, was a member of their men's soccer team there. Really successful college soccer experience. We made three Final Fours. We won a national championship. So, you know, naturally, I had some professional aspirations. I was lucky enough to get drafted in the 2009 MLS draft. I played professional soccer for 2 years at DC United, as well as Austin Aztecs in USL. At that time, it was a really wonderful experience. So, you know, I was good, but not great to the level. At that level, you need to be successful in and out. I would say MLS back then was not as developmental oriented as it is now. It was, you know, you only had 25 men on the roster. And given where I was as a player, to be very transparent, I was probably 23, 24, 25, 26, depending on the day. I can either get a bit stronger. The jump from going from collegiate athletics, as many know, to professional athletics is night and day, just in terms of the physicality in the body. And I was a twig when I played. I probably need some time to fill out, add some muscle. But I'm still grateful for the experience that it provided me in general. And I'm still close to the game. You know, some of my friends had longer, you know, careers than I did. We could catch up all the time. Some of my friends or former teammates now have moved into coaching.
Nice.
Management. They work for leagues. So still really close to the game, despite not actively playing the game.
Okay. And so after those 2 years, like what have you transitioned into after? What are you doing now?
So after I stopped playing, it was kind of like a whirlwind. I would say I migrated to the tech field for my first job post quote unquote retirement, you may say. I heard really positive things about tech when I was looking for a job, in that it was less about your resume and more about what you could achieve early on in terms of work ethic, hunger, desire. And to be pretty transparent, I didn't have a lot of work experience when I stopped playing professional soccer, right? The summers in college were working on, you know, your body getting in shape for the upcoming season in the fall, and rinse and repeat. Then when you dive into professional life, the summers you're playing. So I didn't really have a lot of internships compared to my peers who were graduating, whether it's like the same year as 2009 or 2011 when I stopped playing. So I was looking at industries that kind of gave me an opportunity that didn't really require as much like paper experiences. I was willing to learn, but I just didn't have a lot. Good and bad things for me when I now looked at the hiring cycle I went through. It was like, unfortunately, the banking collapse had happened, and it was kind of during the last Great Recession. So it was a really competitive job market, especially with someone who didn't have a lot of job experience. But at the same time, some people now are looking at this, you know, really great market as a way to find talent quickly and, you know, relatively cheaply. And I think that was one of the benefits that allowed me to get a opportunity really early on.
Okay. And I guess, so digging into that, like when you were looking, and let's say you just finished and you're like, all right, what am I doing now? Maybe you knew a little bit, maybe 6 months ahead of time, you knew something might be happening in your near future. Did you start visualizing what you wanted to go into? Because I know you're interested in tech and you thought that might be a good opportunity for you, but did you start visualizing where you wanted to be, or did you use any of those techniques yourself, or what do you do?
I didn't quite visualize there. You know, I had an idea that I was eventually going to have to find a job. So, you know, being able to be at peace with my decision to stop playing, I think came a bit easier from that realization based on where salaries were and how I viewed myself in the team structure, saying, hey, I was a good team, I was a great teammate, but I was a roster player. I wasn't going to make, material money to like live off of for an extended period of time. Whereas what they were paying people in my similar role or position was, it was a salary, but it wasn't enough to live off of. So I knew at some point the culmination of my career would eventually arise, and I would have to now find a different career or career pathing. I think that realization made the transition from being a professional athlete not to be a professional athlete, because as you probably heard from others during your interview series, that transition is hard. Like for so long, you're known as first last name athlete, sport you play. And all of a sudden, that's taken away from you. And very few athletes have the ability to like control when their career ends. It seems simple, but very few people have the honor that the late great Kobe Bryant had, where you can now tell everyone this is your last year. Most people now are told this is your last year, or you don't have an opportunity to now play. And psychologically, that's kind of tough now, especially then coupling that with the unknown time. Whereas like being an athlete at a high level, you're very structured. You have a really good regimen. Like you wake up, you lift, you eat, you play, you sleep, you have that. Whereas now that's kind of on your own. So I think both of those things make the transition somewhat hard for some. Whereas like I think I faced challenges, but it was a bit easier to digest because I knew it was going to come eventually. Whether it was now, I didn't think it'd be that quickly, but I knew at some point I was going to have to stop playing from a financial piece because, I wasn't going to get the salaries that were going to be feasible to live off of, or, have family or other aspirations based on where I was at the time.
Now, trying to make that transition for yourself, was it something where you just realized you're like, no, this isn't just me. I'm not just the soccer player, and that helped you make that transition because you knew you were something outside of that role that you'd been hired on the roster? Or how did you make that transition or sort
No,
of go through that thought
I've
process
always kind of
yourself?
had that. Like, I mean, like dating back to my college experience, like my club team broke up in my junior year, which is the biggest year for college recruiting. So I somewhat slipped through the cracks of the college recruiting circles. So I
Okay.
ended up being able to, I was fortunate enough to walk on at Wake Forest. And like, I mean, a true walk on. And for those who don't know, Wake Forest is a top 10 program. So I was grateful to get an opportunity that my coaches gave me a chance to walk on, but I earned a spot and I played. But based on that experience, I always knew that I was a normal person who just liked soccer, right? I didn't view myself as just like in this one silo. I had always had interest and curiosities. So I think for me, it was always like evident top of mind. But I can understand why it's really challenging, because if you do something for 18 years of your life or the majority of your life, and all of a sudden it's no longer there for you to associate with, it's a kind of a difficult pill to swallow, you can say, or it takes a while for you to kind of now disassociate yourself and say, hey, maybe I am still Lyle Adams and I like soccer, but I'm good at soccer, but I like puzzles, I like the Rubik's Cube,
Yeah,
I like
that's not your
doing
whole
board
identity.
games, I like a whole different thing. And I think some will get there, but sometimes it just takes a bit longer to realize that because you're so ingrained in the sport of choice. And to be successful, you have to be ingrained, right? Like, I think it becomes like you can't like kind of be passively in it, or like you're not going to get to that level of success, because all the pros or all stars obsess about their sports, and that's the only way you can, I think, be successful at that level.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess, it was there something that you had to navigate with your own family? I mean, whether I don't know if you were married or had a partner at the time, or perhaps in just like your mom and dad, is there anything like that family dynamics that you had to sort of navigate making that decision, or were they supportive of you making that?
No, my parents were always really supportive of whatever I wanted to do. Like even like during my college journey, like they were like, "Hey, we can support you up to this amount, right? Or you can go here, but if you want to go someplace else, we'll support you." But here's, they were very honest and candid with me early on of saying what I couldn't do, and that was always through my childhood. Like if I said I wanted to be an astronaut, my parents were like, "I don't know what, I am not an astronaut, but like we can make you an astronaut if you want to be an astronaut." So it was always a very warm household where there was a lot of encouragement and belief, but they kind of set really good expectations for me of saying, hey Lyle, like if you don't like chemistry, don't think you can be a scientist. Like right. So it's like it's a combination of being supportive, and I felt supportive and loved, But at the same time, they were honest with me. So when I made the decision of, hey, I don't want to play, my parents were super supportive. They didn't really force, they go, if you're not into it, you can't really be successful unless you're
Yeah.
really, really, bought in and like going to have the grind. That's what I tell people all the time. I go, everyone's path or career takes different, steps or journeys along the way. But growth is not linear. Some people have success really long and some people take longer, but the one commonality I would say for whether it's business or professional sports is like you have to be cool with the path. Like
Yeah.
regardless of the journey, you have to be cool with putting in the work to get there. But if you're not now, it's probably not going to be for you because where when you achieve that success or how you achieve that success just might take time. And like I said, success and growth is not linear, unfortunately.
No, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And I guess what's so in your time in your 2 years there, like, was there a $1 million lesson that you learned as a pro athlete that you sort of planned to implement to get you into beast mode, or that you saw other players putting in to practice to get them into beast mode? I know you talked about developmental
I would say it
programs,
was
but.
my me getting waved and the manner of which it was done. I don't think it was malicious, but it made me realize at that point, like sports was a business. So it taught me the brutality or the brutality of that aspect of the business, right? Like in terms of like, hey, like if you don't perform, you can be gone. It taught me that very, because whereas you don't really experience that in college. You might have a bad game, but like coach can't wave you. Like you might not play again, or you might not play for a while until you earn your spot back. But like, it's not like you're gone. Whereas in professional ranks, unfortunately, sometimes like you don't really have that control. So yes, you have to bring it every single day. But there's also things outside of your control where there's like, do they need a roster spot for a better player, or do they need to bring someone else in? And you're kind of like I wouldn't say casualty of war, it's just a casualty of business. It's saying, hey, like we like you as a person, but like to make our team better, we gotta trade you or make this move here and bring in another player and do some stuff here. Like, and so me experiencing that firsthand kind of taught me the brutality of corporate life in terms of like, hey, this is a job. You gotta be in and out. Like, there's no personal feelings here. It's now just a job. And I think that kind of, I would say, hardened me. It hardened me at a young age, I think, to be like very like, I would say efficient in corporate life. I view the same thing in the corporate world as I did the experience of getting waived. Like yes, like you can get let go or terminated in the corporate world, right? Or unfortunately, you could have workforce reductions which are outside of your control. But like you have a lot more control in my eyes there than you do in professional sports sometimes, right? Like if you're truly honest and reflective of yourself, right? Like there are times, like I said, I've seen people get traded and they didn't do anything wrong. The team just needed to free up some money and like their salary matched to bring another player, and it was, and they were starting. So it wasn't like they were like, hey, I'm a bad participant. It was outside of their control. Whereas I view that stuff happens in the corporate world. It's been more prevalent recently with a lot of workforce reductions. But for the most part, I believe many of these corporate, personnel movements, you as an employee play a pretty big role in the decision whether or not you truly want to be honest with yourself there. Right.
And do you wish you would have learned that or knew that mindset when you started your professional career in like the MLS space, or is it was good at the timing that it hit you and then you realize and you're able to move on? Or would you have done things differently if you would have known that mindset earlier?
It's a difficult question. I go back and forth on, right? I think hindsight's obviously 2020. I don't regret, I don't regret much of my professional career. I'm just, if I'm being honest, I wasn't at the level necessary to be could sustain success. I was probably an MLS2 player now or a USL pro player, at scale. I could have been maybe an MLS player with a year or two of experience underneath my belt. But if I'm just truly being honest of where my game was, I needed development time, like I said, to get stronger, to like understand the rigors of the game. So I don't really regret anything from there. And like for my career pathing, I don't regret when it happened. I think it was kind of a wake-up call to say, hey, like this can happen to you or it can happen to anyone. You kind of now have to like realize how this works, right? So I don't regret it. It was difficult to swallow at that age. Like I said, you're young, you don't understand this. You've seen a lot of success being a former athlete. Like I said, like you don't get to that level and not be competitive. And you're used to like being on top of most things. So like when someone gives you the brutality of reminding you of saying you aren't there anymore, you kind of have to now figure out how you pick yourself up and rebuild yourself. And I think when it happened, it was great for my career out trajectory into the corporate world.
No, I'm definitely a proponent of things definitely happen for a reason and obviously got you to where you are now. So I don't think that's a bad thing by any means. I think it always helps. So, and I guess this might be sort of related too, is like, is it what's like the most costliest financial mistake that you see being made or maybe one that you've made personally? Is there something that you might give as advice or recommendation for those that either are currently still playing or just getting out that was a costly financial mistake that you might often see being made?
I would say it's twofold. I didn't make a lot when I played, so I didn't have a lot of money to like overly spend, if I'm being honest. I would say though, like one, like don't rush into anything. I would say people, if someone gives you an arbitrary timeline and you and they and they're very pressy about meeting that timeline and you don't feel comfortable, say no. Right? Just say no. Like I said, like if someone truly wants to work with you one reason or another, and you communicate that you need more time. If they truly have your best interest, they'll honor that time. Like, yes, there are certain deals that might now close and the window might close, but like that's part of business. But if anyone feels makes you feel pressed into a decision, I would say step away from that because it's not for you as an athlete. And I would say the next thing is like, if you don't know, ask someone who might know. Right? And the reason for that is like, I learned a lot more about business when I started doing business, whether it was tech, investing, equity, all of this stuff. And I had a few great mentors that would walk me through things from the ground up. And unfortunately, as an athlete, you're sometimes you might feel vulnerable asking a question that you think you should know, but if you don't have experience, you're not going to know, right? Like you only if you only know sliced bread, you only know sliced bread. Like when you know toast, you're like, wow, this is warm sliced bread, but like if you don't ever have toast before, you don't know anything about it, right? I know it's a strange analogy, but for me, it's like saying, hey, if you don't know, it's okay not to know. I don't think anything is wrong if you've never had that experience before, but don't feel compelled now not to ask a question because you don't know. Because I feel like you asking questions for me, one, it shows that you're engaged, you're looking for stuff, you're asking questions, and secondly, as a vetting process. If the person's you're asking questions to can't articulate responses in a thoughtful, material manner, that's a red flag for me. Whereas if they're willing now to sit down and talk to you or give you like time to answer these questions, I think that's way of a person I kind of want to work with, right? And only work in sp spaces that I think you're comfortable with. Whether if you like equity, do equity. If you like real estate, figure out real estate. Don't dive into something that you don't really understand, because I just think it adds to additional friction in the relationship, or unless you have someone who's willing to walk you through and educate you in the process. So I think it's a long-winded answer of saying there's opportunities for athletes out there, but like not everything is for you, or not everything could be good for you, right? And I tell my team all the time with customers, right? Like, not every customer is our target customer. Not every customer will be a good customer. There's some people that I would love to work with. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Like, I'm not upset about that. Maybe the timing is off, but like, not everyone is going to be a good customer for us. And that kind of reflects how I think about business. Like, some opportunities would be great for you, some aren't. But anyone who promises, like I said, a 300% return in 6 months, I would kind of be very wary of that. Because that doesn't really exist, right?
And do you find that players rely on other players for information or advice or like, oh, what did you do in this deal? Or can you help me out? Or is it more of outside, whether it's business advisors or experts in the field that maybe
Yeah,
they go
I
to for
think
that?
athletes feel comfortable with athletes. You can see that now in the broader space, right? I said like Family Office Club, and like there's been a growth in like athlete first investment stuff, which are founded by former athletes, or they have a lot of ties to the professional space or those in those industries or spaces. So I definitely feel athletes feel more comfortable with each other, right? They know what to get to a certain level of success. I know what you've put in. So I respect you for that, and I respect that aspect of your life. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to bullshit you. Pardon my language. I don't know if I can say that. I'm cold, right? But it's
You're
like,
okay.
and for context, I said, like, a few of my friends played pro soccer for years, and like we would go out after, and they would ask me how they played, and I would give them really good feedback. Like, I didn't think he played that well tonight. He's like, you can't tell him that. I was like, I've known him for years. Like, he didn't play that well tonight. Like, I think he'd be mad at me if I told him he played well when he knows he didn't play well.
Yeah, that's not
Because
what
at
he's
least
looking
telling
for.
him the
Yeah.
hard truth, I don't think hurt. So I think there's definitely a there's a different understanding and acceptance, and I would say mutual shared respect and understanding amongst athletes. So I think going to a former athlete's great, or even asking a friend, hey, do you now know someone who can help evaluate? Right? I've helped some of my friends now think about their career pathing and different things. And like we've had honest conversations, but the same thing, I say, hey, I don't know. I don't know, but this guy might know. Let me now make an introduction for you. And they know, and I know that if I'm giving out them an introduction, it's someone I now I vet or have credibility behind, because I'm just not going to extend someone there unless I fully trust the person.
Yeah.
And most athletes kind of understand that if you now have mutual shared connections or reach a certain level of the craft in general, there's the, it's, you know, the, once again, bad analogy. There's an honor amongst thieves, but there's also like a respect among athletes, right? Like if you, we might not like each other on the court or field, but once you come off, I'm going to shake your hand or give you your respect because I know what you put in to get to this level, and I still respect you as a competitor.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. I think that's a great perspective to take because I think sometimes that's overlooked on where they can turn to. And once again, they might not be turning to them for some of that industry specific advice, but they might know someone who's they've worked with in the past in that space. And like, yes, this person understands where we come from. They understand like what we do know or what we don't know. And they'll be able to help you through that process because I've actually worked with them on the same thing. I love it. Well, how about this for the last question? What if someone wants to become one of those 0.1 percenters in their field? Like, how can they outcompete everyone around them? And maybe it's getting, you know, the time to develop, like you were mentioning, or is it putting in the time of the practice? Is it putting in the training? Is it the mindset? What is it, do you think, that could help someone outcompete others in their field, whether it's on the sports side or whether it's on the corporate side?
I think it's a lot about mentality. I'll speak from the corporate side because I, you know,
Okay.
I don't think I was there on the sports side, but like corporate side, I might have hope to get to the top, that top upper echelon of, you know, leaders or business folks, right? I think you have to have a steely resolve about yourself. In that, like, for example, like it took me 59 meetings to sign my first customer.
Okay.
That's less. That's like 1.7%. It's not a great number. Right, I think 1.6%. It's a lot of no's. So if you want to be successful in business, like you're going to hear no a lot more than yes, which is very different than, you know, life as a successful athlete, because you succeed a lot more than you lose at that point, right? So being able to now, you know, I would say internalize and understand why they're saying no and separate the emotion from that, or the, I think is critical, because for me, like those first 57 meetings were learning experiences. They weren't losses. I learned something about myself or the customer or who I was targeting in that period of time. And I think to become successful, you have to now look at things, you know, more objectively. Like you can't get emotional. You can't get too high, you can't get too low. Right? Whether it's like raising money or growing a book of business. Like, yeah, like you might sign a customer today, but unless the customer is paying you $10 million and your target's $10 million, you got to sign a lot more customers to get there.
Yeah,
So it's like,
that's not
yeah,
the finish line. Yeah.
you can say, hey, this is great, but let's just keep working. Or if you now get a no, it's saying, hey, why did I get a no? It's like, was this actually the right customer for me? Or is there something wrong with the pitch? Or what can I now change? So I think that demeanor is very, very successful. And I think being able to separate, like separate personal life from work is critical. Like finding your way to, like, you know, recharge or energize, I think is important. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm always thinking about work, but I can turn off now for a couple hours, or, you know, time on the weekend spent with my wife. I can do different things there to, you know, recharge mentally, but that also gives me a different perspective. And I guess that's the last period. Always try to learn. All the podcasts I listen to are outside of my field.
Okay.
It's outside, it's just random. People call it quote unquote random, but it's things I'm interested in outside or different spaces, or I'll look to connect with another entrepreneur in a different field. Like, yes, I sell enterprise software, but like I love talking to B2C founders or enterprise goods or consumer product goods or retail or restaurateurs, because their experiences just give me more information that I can say, hey, like maybe I should try that with my industry. Like I'm always curious. And I think to get to that level of success, whether you have to be curious, you're trying to get 1% or 2% better. Because if you're in the NBA, everyone is good, right? Like any of those players on that NBA roster can go to like Equinox or the YMCA and go drop 100 points if they want, right? But for them, it's the top 1% of basketball players. But they're always looking to improve on a little thing, whether it's their defense, their passing, because like that's what's going to get them more minutes or get them on the court. And that's kind of how I think about, the corporate life. Like I can't increase 100% month over month consecutively, but can I get 3% better every month? But if I now have that mindset in all of my tasks, whether it's now my public speaking, my sales pitch, my company's like reporting metrics, at the end of that quarter now, we could be 15% ahead of where we were previous quarter. And if you have that mentality in all aspects of your life, whether it's the business or work side, I think your professional career or your business career can be successful.
No, I think that is great advice. And I think it's also very relevant because that's sort of the same mindset you had even when you were finishing up on the soccer side of things into now what you're doing on the corporate side of things, of being able to disconnect of that's not just your identity. You're able to have the identities outside of the corporate world with your friends, with your family, like all those things, and just continually evolving and whatever that looks like, that's always a good thing. You're just constantly growing and working on it. So, but
No, thank you so much. It's been quite a journey. I just, in conclusion, I just want to tell the listeners today that like growth is not linear. Some things take time, right? And it's very challenging to like realize they take time. Like I think I heard a quote the other day. It's like patience is one of the lost arts. Everyone now wants instantaneous success. And I think society's kind of now, ingrained that in society, whether it's now how quickly you can get a car via Uber or how quickly you can order food or how quickly Amazon or your packages or your whatever you buy now comes. Back in the day, like you would wait 4 days for something. If it came, that was okay. But now you kind of want it the next day because we've kind of trained our minds. So as a result of this, patience is somewhat, I would say, decreased in society. People want things a lot quicker. Whether that's now looking at professional teams and expectations with coaches, like culture takes time to change. Like I'm a Magic fan, right? Like I'm gonna rip my Magic right now. Like we're making the playoffs right now, but it's been a rough few years. But we had a great coach come in a couple years back, and like you could see positive changes in the franchise and the players. We were getting better, we were competitive, but like you weren't gonna go from being 10th in the East the first not following year. Just some things just take time, right? And the same thing with business. And like an athlete knows that all of your summer sprints or workouts, you'll see the benefits of those now 6, 7 months down the road. You won't see them, you might see them instantaneously, but you'll really see the benefits now in the future. And having that perspective of saying, hey, putting in the work now, I'll see the benefits later, I think is somewhat lost. But if you can remember that deep down inside, I think it allows you to be successful at scale.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think that's great insight. And Lyle, just thank you for taking the time today to be on the show to give those insights and just give it's not just information, but it's actually insights from your own personal life. So thank you for just giving those insights and just being yourself and letting us know like your journey. So it's been very appreciative and both on this side and hopefully on yours.
Thank you so much, Trevor, for having me today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Take care, okay?
Thank you.